Inside Mac.
Radio program. I'm your host, Scott Shepherd. You're here today with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. How you doing, Brad?
Oh, doing great, Scott.
Cool stuff here. The Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro for the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD-XDV, the coolest software. If you have content on a DVD that's MPEG-2 and you want to pull that off and get it into Final Cut Pro HD 3.5, the brand new one that's out this week. Final Cut Pro, you name it, anything. Check it out, www.dvdxdv.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new MacBook or MacBook Pro. Apple authorized reseller, plus a killer place for upgrades of your SuperDrive on your G4, your G5, your G3, your PowerBook. Check them out, mcetech.com. And our media partners, Popular Photography Magazine. Check them out at popphoto.com. American Photo Magazine at AmericanPhoto.com. Creative Pro, the place for creative professionals at CreativePro.com. Layers Magazine at LayersMagazine.com. And Printing for Less at PrintingForLess.com. The official printer of the Inside Mac radio program. So, Brad, how are you doing today?
Oh, doing great. You know, I mean, the fog has returned to San Francisco. It's just nice again. We had a big old heat wave earlier in this week, and got pretty warm, and now things are starting to cool off, and it's nice.
It is. That's what's nice about San Francisco in the summertime, you know, in early summer. It's just...
It's colder than the wintertime. I love it. It was Mark Twain's quote, "The coldest winter I ever spent was the summer in San Francisco."
So the fog's rolling in. It's nice. It's very nice. It was, 53 degrees driving into the studio.
Oh, it's just nice. Yeah. Beautiful. Just gorgeous.
Very definitely. So much fun there.
Yeah.
And then, this week we have MacBooks out.
Brand
new laptop.
And they're black and they're slick looking and they have, really good specs on them. I mean, they're great little computers. 1.83, I think, and a 2.0 are the specs on that. I think that's right.
Yeah.
And you can get them in, and they have the built-in EyeSight. They've got the remote control, and they've got,
The black one's very interesting. The new keyboard is all flush, different keyboard design.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff there. And then the only thing that seems a little bummer about it is, and I guess probably for the market that the MacBook is geared at, is the shared video memory.
Oh, I know.
And it's only like 32 meg.
I know. And you
can't
run...
So basically, I think it's the same memory as a Mini.
Yeah, and it's really terrible because you can't run Final Cut Pro on it. I mean, that's just like that. I wish you could because it would be great, but that would just stop me cold from ever.
I wonder if you could run Final Cut Express on it.
I don't know. We have to look at the specs.
Yeah, that's something we'll have to do during a break here because that's interesting that they would have. Well, it's a consumer laptop, though. You know, it's made for schools and people that want something light and.
Oh, it's true, but you always want to be able to. I would think given the number of those out there, that you wouldn't want to cut people off from buying software. So I'm just wondering if that there's a technical limitation or if it's a hard limitation that they put in there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not an upgradable deal.
To me, it's like hardware is somewhat commoditized. It's like, okay, here's your hardware, and you make very small margins on it, but we want to just pump software onto this baby and just sell lots of software.
Well, I think the problem is if they would have made the graphics the same as a MacBook Pro, then what would be the... There would be no MacBook. There'd be no $1,000 laptop.
Oh, no. I mean, no doubt. But I just wish that they would undo the technical hurdle of not being able to write Final Cut Pro on it because, that's what people would want to go from. They got iMovie and they're hitting a wall in iMovie and they're like, I need Final Cut Pro. And they're like, nah, you can't run it on that software. You can't run it. Your hardware's not fast enough. So other than that, it looks like a great machine. It's got a new glossy display, which is really slick. Gives you a little bit more contrast.
Have you had a chance to go look at one yet?
I haven't yet. This is what I've been reading about it.
I was going to go to the, the Quarter of Madera store the other night because I was in Marin and just go look at it. I never got to, but maybe today we'll have to do it after the show.
Yeah.
After we go off to Schroeder's.
Off to Union Square, yes.
Good stuff there. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we have Philip Hodges with all the post and digital post-production news. Fit to Eat, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast-quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of the hardware device Protégé. Stick that FireWire device in, boot your Mac off it, fix it, on the road you go. Check them out, micromat.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. How you doing, Philip?
I am great, Scott. What is it with Apple? They've suddenly stopped actually announcing things. They just sneak things out the door, like the MacBook last earlier in the week, and now Final Cut Express 3.5.
Yeah, I've been looking. I was looking here because we talked about it in the segment, you know, earlier about running Final Cut Express on the new MacBook because of the shared video. You know, it won't work with Final Cut,
and
at least they claim it won't work.
Yeah, they claim that Final Cut Pro wouldn't work on an Intel Mac as well, and I think Brad convincingly demonstrated that wasn't entirely accurate.
Yeah,
but you know, it's interesting. I'm trying to find Final Cut Express on their website, and I can't find it.
It's there. It was linked out of their press release in the XML feed. Certainly linked straight to the Final Cut Express page.
But you know, when they list their software, they don't show it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it says officially that for the Final Cut Express that it needs a graphics card that supports Quartz Extreme, which seems to be a little bit more flexible than Final Cut Pro, which will not run on a shared memory graphics card such as in the MacBook.
Or a Mac Mini,
correct. But apparently Final Cut Pro does actually run on a Mac Mini, somebody has said, but it's certainly not officially supported. Motion won't run on the Mac Mini, so they're talking... With Final Cut Pro, they're now talking about, of course, the whole studio, because there is only one product. So if one component of the studio won't run, then officially the studio won't run.
Yeah, this is true.
Pretty cool upgrade for just $99 if you've already got Final Cut Express. You get Dynamic RT, you get multiple tracks of video, which you never had before. You get more layers, that is. You get color correction and matting filters, which you didn't get before. Lots of real-time transitions and real-time effects thanks to Dynamic RT. That's a pretty powerful upgrade for just $99.
It is. Now, here's a good one for you. Now, the only difference in Final Cut Express 3.5 now and Final Cut Pro 5.1 or just 5 is the that it only works with DV and HDV, correct?
And it has no time code support at all. So you can't do any batch capture operations, you can't do any offline, online workflows, and you really can't take a project from one system to the other very conveniently.
Right, but do you think the overhead of Final Cut Express is very similar to Final Cut Pro? So basically, if you only need to do DV and not have to worry about batch capture, would you gain anything by running Final Cut Express over Final Cut Pro 5 just because the lower overhead of the actual software? Probably not.
Probably not, no. And in fact, the minimum spec for Final Cut Express 3.5 is like a G4 500 megahertz, which is much lower than Final Cut Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't need batch capture, interesting observation I made in our news feed about this is that when this happened around Final Cut Express 2.0, it seemed like it was getting very close to the features of Final Cut Pro 3 at that point. And then, of course, Final Cut Pro 4 came out with a leapfrog and a huge bunch of new features. Now, I am speculating wildly, but it does kind of suspect that they've got some good stuff in train for Final Cut Pro 6 or whatever the next release might be, whenever the next release might be.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you would think the next release is NAV.
Yeah, that's probably what I would expect. I mean, it would be unusual for them to release it beforehand. They have only released at major trade shows. I think the lowest trade show they've ever released a Final Cut Pro at was 1.25 at a DV Expo. So that's likely to be December at the earliest. They've never released a new version at IBC, but potentially they may preview it behind closed doors. But I do expect that we'll really wait another year to get that full version 6 release, as we were talking about before NAB this year, but we didn't expect a big release.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Yep. Talking about big releases, and Panasonic and Sony have got together to give us yet another HD format. It's called AVC HD, and this is using an H.264 MPEG codec to record onto an 8-centimeter DVD. That's the mini DVD size. I'd have to translate. What's 8 centimeters in American?
Oh, I don't know. It's
4 inches.
Yeah, something like that.
it's the smaller mini DVs. It's not the
full
size.
About 3 inch, isn't it? It's about three inches.
It's around there. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is not what Panasonic announced at NAB. What they announced at NAB was an all iframe H.264 codec for professional P2 media for next NAB. This is a consumer format because it's a long GOP MPEG for H.264. So it's got the same sort of issues as HDV, but using H.264 instead of MPEG-2. But it uses an MPEG-2 transport screen, so it's got MPEG-4 inside an MPEG-2, just to confuse everybody.
Yeah, you know what I was disappointed with is that they're not using any Blu-ray on those. They're just using standard mini DVDs, and so you don't pick up any extra storage benefit from it. So you pick up better compression than MPEG-2 theoretically in most situations, but you don't pick up any storage. So it seems like sort of an evolved product rather than something that's really revolutionary. At least that's what I felt about it.
It's 18 megabits per second, which is just a little bit slower than the HDV1 spec of 19 megabits per second. But into that, I'll put 1080i at 60 and 50 fields. Mm-hmm. Or 24 frames. It's all pretty much covered. It's not an interesting format. Clearly, it's not designed as an editing format, but a professional format. But I bet it turns up in edit suites before too much longer after it's released.
Oh yes, yes. Like all things bad, they all wind up in an editing suite, and someone has to struggle with it and figure out how to get it to sync up.
Yes, there'll probably be another release of HDV. just to keep you guys busy.
Yes,
busy,
keep busy, us on our toes.
And Apple snuck out QuickTime 7.1 in the last week as well.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on 7.1? I know that that you're into the QuickTime deal pretty heavy. What anything that people should watch out for when upgrading, or is this a full go, get it, do it now deal?
I think it's pretty much a full go, get it, do it now deal. I mean, as always, if this is a production machine that you rely on for your living, wait a week or two just to make sure that nothing comes up, but it has been fairly thoroughly tested. It's a strong emphasis on security. It solves many of the problems that were involved and came up earlier in the year with malicious code in images and flash files and possibly even into a QuickTime file. So they did fix all that. One of the things that I like about it is that it makes a return of the QuickTime timecode track that Final Cut Pro uses, so you can now read that timecode track in QuickTime Player.
Yeah, that's nice. But my biggest favorite feature of that is that now you can create H.264 videos at different bit rates and at different numbers of audio tracks for the video iPod. You couldn't do that with any previous release of QuickTime.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool because now it actually meets the specifications, you know, properly. It does what it says it does, which I think is a great feature when something does what it says it does.
Always nice, isn't that?
Always nice, yeah.
You can get more information from the Digital Production Buzz during the live show on Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m., or catch us in the podcast afterwards, and the news is updated daily on our website.
Yes, thank you, Philip. We will see you on Wednesday evening at the Final Cut Pro User Group meeting in Hollywood, California. Myself and Brad will be there. So, we're going to hang out with Philip and Grady Fletcher and all the boys. We're going to have a presentation from Red. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromet in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up now we have Andy Shallett. He's going to be giving us a Mac design tip out of the box right now.
Andy's always out of the box.
Andy knows about design tips. Hey, this is Sam.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm in the studio. Yes, well, finally.
I feel for you guys.
So do I. Oh. Sammy broke out of the pod show offices, I guess, for a few minutes to come on over and say hi.
I had to bring some...
In other
words,
you broke through his chains.
Right.
I had to bring some goodies to share. That's second hour.
Okay. Well, as long as you're there, maybe we can talk about something else that has to do with design. How's that?
Wonderful.
Okay. I was chatting recently with Terry Stone, the editor for CreativePro.com and InDesign magazine, and we were talking about workflows and workspace. And one of the things that a lot of people don't avail themselves of when they're working in, for instance, in Photoshop or in InDesign or, for that matter, Fireworks or Dreamweaver or Flash, is that their workspaces sometimes change. You know, all those palettes that you have, they clutter everything up, and very much like my real desk in the real world. There's a way that you can actually save workspaces so that when you come back on, everything is exactly where you left it.
That is handy. Now, how do we do this?
Well, it depends on which application. Let's just take the two big ones are, of course, Creative Suite with Adobe, with Photoshop, and InDesign and Illustrator. And in that, it's very simple. When you're working in an application, you'll see on the top it says Window on the upper right there in your menu. If you go down there and you look at Workspace, it'll say Save Workspace As. And you can actually save your workspace. So you can have any number of workspaces, choose them at will. So, for instance, there are times when you don't want to know about the characters, you don't want to know about layers, and you don't want to see pages or something like that, you can save different workspaces. And the same goes for Studio. So when you're working in Macromedia Studio, which is now owned by Adobe as well, you can, in Dreamweaver, Fireworks, or Flash, you can do the same thing. It's in a slightly different space. It's under Window again, but then you have to scroll down to the very bottom where it says Workspace Layouts. And once again, it's the simplest of things, but it's like cleaning off your desk. It's a nice way of just saying, you know, I just want to see this workspace without all those palettes in the way. What do you think of that, guys?
I think that's a great idea. I mean, there is a lot of screen clutter with some of these as you open everything up. I mean, you start to get, you know, tool palettes and just stuff all over the place. And it's good just to basically think in one mode. If you're doing one kind of thing in Photoshop, then you just want these palettes up, or Illustrator, or so on and so forth.
Exactly. And, you can fashion them to what you might be working on that day. Because, you know, in Photoshop, you could be working on a million different things, one for the web, one for print, and it just simplifies the whole casino, I guess we call it in Italian, the whole chaos that you bring up in your work day.
Hmm. That's my work day, chaos. How'd you nail that one?
Except that you dress so nattily. That's the interesting part of it.
Yes.
So that's my tip for the week, guys. I'm sorry if I was a little bit late coming on, but with my voice over IP, sometimes it's hard to get through.
That's right. You're a Vantage man.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, also a question for Andrew. As our resident design guru, you had a chance to go down to the Grove and look at a MacBook with a shiny screen. What's your thoughts on this shiny screen deal?
I did. Well, okay. Well, the first thing I did was just a quickie thing here. I looked online and I was excited as any Mac geek would be. Oh my God, it's black! Wow, fantastic! And I'm getting down there. I rushed down to the Apple store and look at it. And they were very nice about showing us the MacBook. They brought one out and I'm looking at it and it's black. And I'm thinking, wow, how cool! Then I realized something. I used to have a black MacBook. Except that it was called a PowerBook G3 5300.
That's it, or a Pismo, or yeah.
So that putting that aside, the glossy, I have yet to see it. I have yet to play with it. It looks reflective.
Hey, we'll be right back, Andy. Hold on one sec. You're here with Andrew Schaut. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you've created or someone has given you some fine quality content on a DVD and you want to actually take this content now and bring it into Final Cut Express, Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Studio, Avid Nitro System, Interplay, you name it. You can just do this. All you need is DVD-XDV. Very cool software. Check them out at DVDXDV.com. Right now, we're back here with Andrew Schaut, and he was talking about his thoughts on the MacBook shiny screens.
Yeah, I was, as we were saying, I got to look at the shiny screen. Now, I use a G4 12-inch right now, and it's got the flat matte screen, and sometimes, occasionally, I use it mainly for writing and for internet and stuff. But when I'm designing stuff, I like that flat, non-reflective screen because it doesn't oversaturate and you don't get a reflection. So the difference here is the new MacBooks all come with that glossy screen. The thing is, when I'm using my 12-inch, I also use a protective cover by Mac Ally. I don't know if you've ever seen them, just a clear vinyl.
Yep.
Which protects it from all the oils and stuff. I found it the best way to protect it from that striping that you sometimes get after a while on your screens. So it stays pristine, and when I'm looking or showing someone an image, I usually take that off. I peel it off and put it back on. Here you won't have the choice. Now, I haven't played with this for an extended period of time, but I'm thinking that the glossy screen might be great for watching a DVD and great for looking at images, but working on them, I'm not sure yet. It's up in the air still about that. We're still not decided whether it's going to be a great thing. Something came up this morning. I was looking online, watching a video that our Macworld friends put up, and about how to remove the battery from the new one. They had a little video on that, and it shows the new configuration for the RAM. Where it's just a little slide thing, you pull it out and they pop out, the RAM, very easily replaced. But something even better, the hard drive, the serial ATA drives, come out just by pulling them out.
It's a user configurable.
If you ever tried to open up PowerBook aluminum and tried to replace a hard drive, as I've done, it takes about an hour because there's about 50 screws that you have to undo and remember where they go. So this, now the thing that interested me about this, that intrigued me, is that maybe if someone, it slides in on a little aluminum tray, essentially. If someone makes that just that tray that fits in, then you can, in a sense, have a bootable Windows drive outside of your Mac, which you can then replace when you need to do Windows. Why partition when you can just have a separate drive completely?
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Who needs Windows?
Right. Well, that was the next thing is saying, but if you really need Windows,
come on.
Then, you know.
Yeah, but it is cool that you can just pop it out, you know, and just maybe even rotate drives. If you have a separate image of your drive, you can just basically rotate images as a backup.
Exactly.
And I think it's great.
Hey, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for the extended time.
No problem, buddy. Andy Schaut, you can check him out at schaut.com.
And so, and speaking of the drives, this is the first...
I think
Mac,
you can't pull the thing in and out because you're going to unscrew stuff, and then you're going
to... It's the first one that allows you to configure, and that leads the way for our friend Arnie of MCE. He makes he makes drives that support that. So you go buy them, and you could put in, I don't know what size drives.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it's not really something you can hot swap in and out. I mean, you have to unscrew a bezel and take batteries out, and it's not made to be a bus that plugs in and out all day. So
we'll see.
It's nice you can upgrade it, though, yourself.
Finally.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. You want to upgrade that super drive in your PowerBook, your G4, your G3, your G5 to a dual layer 8X, 16X, or get a new MacBook, MacBook Pro. Check them out, MCETech.com. Right now here we're joined with Christopher Breen. Chris is the editor-in-chief of Playlist Magazine and a contributing editor and one of the gurus over at Macworld Magazine. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. So tell me, how are things going over there? And you have been working on a very cool new article that's going to hit Macworld here, I think, probably next week.
Yeah.
About using a Mac Mini as your media center, hooked to your TV all the time type of deal. Tell us about it.
Well, this is kind of step two of something I did earlier this year where I had an iMac G5 and using that as a media center. Because Steve Jobs, when they came out with the Apple Remote, and Front Row said, hey, you know, you don't need your media center anymore. Now it's all built in, and people tried it and said, yeah, sort of. So now I've got a dual-core Intel Mac Mini, and I wanted to kind of upgrade the article and see how that's going. And this time, there were a lot of sacrifices I had to make with the iMac. I couldn't really connect it easily to my television because you don't want two monitors in the same room. And remote control was kind of tough with it, particularly because I use a Dish Network satellite box along with ITV, and ITV doesn't support IR blasting, meaning you can't change channels automatically with the software on a Dish Network box. Elgato knows about that. I talked to their big guns at the last expo and said, what about IR blasting? Because my TiVo does it, and that's what I want for my Mac. And they sort of blew me off and said, well, you know, this is only a problem in the U.S. U.S. is kind of a big market. So I wanted to find a way around that, and with the right gear, I managed to do it.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Sam. Well, what about Keyspan's RF remote for Front Row?
Yeah, it's okay, but it doesn't do what I want it to do.
Yeah, I think
and
what he's trying to do is
do
remotely.
Is change channels. I wanted to set up a schedule in ITV.
Oh, okay, and use the same okay, functions.
And I wanted to do what my TiVo does, and it couldn't do it. So I managed to cobble together enough stuff. One is a thing called the IR Trans, which is a German device. It's a USB device that basically is an IR blaster. So you plug it into your USB port, and you point it at whatever device you want to change channels on. In this case, it's my Dish Network's device. Then you go through a program called iRed, which is a sophisticated Apple script-based program. You teach it your remote control commands for whatever device you're pointing it at. In this case, it was the Dish Network's box. And then you use a really nice piece of software called iiCaptain, which is a $20 shareware program. And using iiCaptain, you create this interface between the Elgato software and the IR Trans software, and it automatically creates these schedules within iCal. It's a little confusing when you first try doing it, but once you've got it set up, it works just like a TiVo, which is exactly what I was trying to get done.
So there's a lot of little teeny pieces that you have to put together, but it does like look like that from a functionality standpoint. It's still a pretty good device. Is that correct?
Yeah. Once you put it all together, it works almost to the point of a TiVo. Obviously, you can't do program recommendations like a TiVo can. So if you need that functionality, get a TiVo. But if you really want to kind of recreate a media center, you don't already have a TiVo and this other kind of gear, this is an okay way to go, because through the Elgato software, you can go to Titan TV, which is a website for programming the ITV software, and then using this other stuff that I've added to it, then it talks to iCal, which then fires off these schedules, which fires an Apple script, which changes the IR blaster, which changes the channel. And, you know, it seems like a long process, but once you get it set up, it really is it's pretty easy to go.
Chris, let's talk about maybe more of a simpler application using the Mac Mini. How did you interconnect the Mac Mini to your TV? What kind of TV? What connection was it?
Well, I don't have an HDTV yet because I'm still waiting for it to kind of settle down and figure out which way to go. The Mac Mini has a DVI connector on the output, but it doesn't have any way to obviously connect it to a standard television. Well, Apple, for $19, sells a DVI to S-Video and composite adapter. So you plug that into the back of the Mini, and then you plug your either S-Video or your composite cables into your television, and it just works.
Mm.
You fire up the TV, your menus are there. That's been a problem in the past where you'd lose a menu bar and you're trying to navigate around. You couldn't do
now,
it.
Now, when you did that, did you see any strange artifacting going on in the text, or does it all look pretty smooth when you do that connected to a TV like that?
It's not pretty. It's navigable, but you certainly don't want to use your television for your computer monitor because it's stretched. Everything's on there, so you can kind of see what's going on, but obviously the resolution on the TV is so much worse than your monitor that you'd get a headache in minutes trying to use it as a Macintosh. But if you're going to incorporate it into your current media center, you have to be able to see the screen, because otherwise you can't launch applications.
Now, if you were using a high-def television that had HDMI, I guess you can just come out of DVI to HDMI, then your screen would look good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything would be cool.
Yeah, if I had a plasma monitor here, which, you know,
yeah,
for some reason Macworld wouldn't buy that for me.
I've actually connected it to my Sony LCD television, and
yeah.
I've been very impressed with the results. I was actually extremely impressed with the DVD player playback capability on a high definition set, as long as the material was progressive.
Yeah,
it looked very, very good.
It looks tremendous when you put it onto the right kind of monitor. But you know, there are a lot of people that don't yet have HDTV, and so you're sort of looking at these kind of kludgy ways to get video on there and incorporate it somehow. So, and Apple provides a way.
Hey, Chris, I want to follow your blog on this article because I read his articles religiously, and I've always given him hell about how techno this guy is. And over the past several years, he's gotten not less techno, but he's brought it down to normal people. And what I'm getting at is I want to find out on your blog how many people have successfully completed what you've done. That's what I want to know. How many people can do it?
Yeah, I think this is doable, but it's not, you know, the perfect solution isn't there yet.
Right.
For example, Apple's remote is limited. The Keyspan remote is better.
I mean, I can't use IR. I mean, it's a beautiful remote, but it's, you know, IR is just, unless you're sitting line of sight, it's just somewhat difficult.
RF is better, but then you can go beyond that to Bluetooth. So you can use Solink Clicker with your phone or with your Palm device, which is another way to go. Or you can go to, like, a Harmony remote, which is one other option. If it's expensive.
Well,
you know, it's like $200 for that.
No,
but it works beautifully with Front Row.
It's actually a lot more if you want their RF. Their 890, it's $400.
Yeah. Well, I've got the cheaper version, and,
right.
and the IR is okay for me for that because I'm sitting in front of the TV anyway, so I'm good with that.
But I think getting back to it, so what's it like? So you've got this Mac Mini connected to your TV. What do you really like about it? What's your favorite points?
Well, Front Row, I'm not totally happy with. What I really want, and another aspect of this is that I've got a main computer downstairs. I've got this thing upstairs. What I really want to do is share video so that the Mini becomes a client and my main computer downstairs is the media server. Front Row's not so good for that because when you're coming through iTunes, particularly video, a lot of times you get a server timed out message. So the way to do that is to alias files then to the Mini and then play it that way, and then it plays back beautifully. DVD looks great. iTunes Music is perfectly good. There are ways to set up radio that sound great. Generally, it's pretty good, but it's not a plug-and-play solution. If you really want this thing to work, you've got to add other components.
Interesting. Now, Chris, tell me, there's a brand-new Macworld iPod and iTunes Super Guide.
Yeah.
And you're the master behind this.
I am a contributor behind it.
Oh, okay.
There are other people in there. Dan Frakes did a bunch of stuff. Jim High did stuff. Matt Honan did some stuff in there. Yeah, we kind of took a look at all the stuff we've done over at Playlist for the last year or so and thought, you know, we've really got the makings of a book here. This, we need to update some of this stuff. We need to pimp it out a little bit. And so our Macworld's digital photo guide went really well. People were very excited by it. They thought, okay, well, let's do the next one with iTunes and the iPod. And it's beautiful. It really is a very nice guide. And again, we've kind of taken all the resources we've had, we've updated everything, we've enhanced them, and it's a great ebook.
Now, why did you guys want to do this as an ebook instead of a regular published book, maybe through Peach Pit or some other authoring house?
Well, you know, Peach Pit already has two fine iPod books, which are written by me.
Oh, okay. So there we go.
No, and that had no bearing on that whatsoever.
Hey, Chris, we're coming to a break. You want to hold on with us and talk a little bit longer?
You bet.
Hey, you're here with Chris Breen from Playlist Magazine, the editor-in-chief, and from Macworld, and also the author of the Mac 9/11 column. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by our media partner, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. If you want the number one publication for digital imaging, check them out at popphoto.com. We're here with Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine. We're talking about a very cool article coming up here next week in Macworld about integrating the Mac Mini as a media center. But right now we've been talking about the Macworld iPod and iTunes Super Guide. So, Chris, you guys have gone through and you've freshened all this stuff up.
Yeah.
This is all fresh content. Of course, it doesn't, deal with anything that you have in your book, so your book stuff is still nice and fresh and safe. And
absolutely right. I said, oh, you want me to work on this? Okay, well, let's not mention this. No, they just have different approaches. The Super Guide is, I mean, it's got a lot more product information than I have in my books because, you know, Dan Frakes is the iPod god of products. So he's got, you know, he knows headphones, he knows speakers, he knows all the cases and all the gear. And so he had to sort through, you know, these huge boxes of stuff he's got to kind of recommend the best current products out there. And there are pieces from other writers about different aspects of iTunes that I don't cover in the book. So, you know, they're compatible.
Now, how big is this thing? How many pages?
You know, I haven't looked at it lately. I have to check. Unless, you know, I get it sort of in PDF and I like read. It's a good chunk of text, but you know, I'm embarrassed to say I don't know. I didn't edit the thing, so I can find out, but
It's 88 pages. Here we go.
There you go. It's 88 pages, exactly.
88 pages, and it's only, $12.95 is a PDF, or you can have a full-color printed version for 25 clams.
Yeah, it's the same model that they use for the photo guide, which is you can get it for, if you like a PDF file, portable on your MacBook or whatever you're taking around, great, do it there. Otherwise, some people really like to have print, as, you know, obviously we're in the magazine business, too, so. And if you want that, you can get it. And the prints are really good. The digital photo guide looked great. It doesn't look like somebody, you know, put it on their Xerox machine and cranked it out and put staples in it. It's a real life book.
So it's an actual real printed book. That's very cool.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the new model that, you know, in the past, years ago, Macworld would do these special issues, and they'd be on the newsstands, and then they'd die. And this PDF makes a lot of sense because, one, you get it right away. You don't have to wait for the printer to do it. And also, there may come a time when you say, we need to update this stuff. And if you're working in electronic text, it's easy to do that. So it's a nice way to go.
That's definitely, I think, the way to go because, you know, like you said, I mean, look at your deal is you come out with a cool book on the iPod and Apple, like, zings you. And, you know, they've had to do so many printings, they should have just offered this stuff as electronic form. So then if there's an update, boom, new book's ready in a couple days.
By the way, when is the latest iPod book? You've got four books, right?
We're at the fifth edition on Secrets of the iPod, and then the iTunes and iPod Pocket Guide is in its first edition, and it's doing really well. And it's I'm updating both books in the next couple of months.
Wow, cool stuff here. Chris, how do we find out more information on your books, what you're doing, and then, of course, this great article coming out here in Macworld next week, and where they get a hold of Chris?
Well, you can always go to www.macworld.com. That's our main news page, and I do the iPod blog and the Mac 911 blog. Otherwise, the press carries my books, and Google's always a good place to go.
Hey, cool stuff, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
There we go. Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine. Like you said, you can check him out at macworld.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. Next up here in the second hour, Sam's going to be doing his cool Mac picks. We have Bob Dr. Mac Levitis coming on talking about the MacBook Pro 17-inch. And then we have Peter Kern coming on giving us our Mac Music Report, all the cool stuff going in the land of music, talking about MacBooks, Intel, compatibility, all kinds of cool stuff. You are listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. For more information, you can go to www.insidemacradio.com. We'll be back here in a few minutes with hour number two with more great stuff. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to Inside Mac Radio. I'm Sam Levin, and we're here with a number of cool, cool new things for the Mac, for iPod, for anything you want to do to accessorize your digital experience with a Mac. And actually, nowadays, you can even attach things that work with a PC because of Bootcamp and Parallels. Speaking of Parallels, have you guys tried Parallels yet? I don't know about that. It's a new program.
No, who wants it? Who needs it?
Well,
what do you need Windows for?
If you've got a few apps, a lot of people don't buy Macs.
The only thing I needed Windows for was to encode Windows Media. Now that I have Flip for Mac. Don't need
I know,
it, brother.
Flip for Mac is beautiful.
It basically translates
any Windows Media file into QuickTime on the fly. And once it's translated, you can then use iSquint or Podner. I don't know if Podner changed their name yet. And export it to a iPod format.
Well, no, actually, it's better than that. Now you can just basically, you can export directly to the video iPod. You don't need Podner or anything like that because the new 7.1 allows you to configure all of the options.
Yeah, but correct me. Last time, the 7.0 was really slow to encode into video. And with Podner, it's quicker.
Oh, I don't know. I think I actually I looked at 7.1. 7.1 looks really good.
Okay.
Yeah, 7.1's not bad.
Now that's free for even if I have 7.0 Pro, that's still free, right? 7.1.
Oh yeah.
A free update.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with 7.1 because of all of the you don't just have to stay with max bit rate in H.264. You can adjust the bit rate down, and you can also go from stereo to mono, which is nice because if you only need like one channel of audio, you can save a lot.
That's all you need, unless it's like a full blown music store. You can cut your size in half of the audio part. That actually is a fair amount.
Oh yeah, Yeah, I think I'm really impressed with it. I mean, I love what they've done. They've done, you know, Apple has made made things really work now, and that's going to be great for people that want to encode for the iPod.
Well, and you know, we're told that this, you know, the rumor is that there's going to be new stuff on the horizon, better video quality. I would say they're going to have better video resolution for the iPod and a bigger screen, and that's going to bode very well into everything we're talking about.
Oh yeah,
for encoding. Better bit rate, resolution. I mean, that's the biggest complaint I hear. Oh, well, God, isn't it better? If you put that on a big screen, plug your video iPod in, it's noticeable depending on the movie that you watch, depending on the screen.
Well, depending on how it's encoded, you know. It's all about where your delivery is. But, where do you want to send your final product?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we helped out Russell Preston Brown, crazy man from Adobe, our buddy Russell, you know, the king of Photoshop. And his stuff is encoded now, so... It's like whatever the setting we had, 500 by or 480 by 360.
We're using MPEG-4 because MPEG-4 will give you a little bit better it'll give you up to 480 by 480, or you can configure your 480 by 480 pixels any way you want. And so you can go a little wider, you can go a little, you can basically, you know, you can get about 500.
I just did some stuff for David Lawrence for his reel, for his website, and I encoded his stuff from his original master to be able to play it on the web. And I went 480 by 360, and it's just, dude, MPEG 4H264, it rocks.
Yeah.
Beautiful, 300 kilobit stream.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's sick.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks good on a video iPod?
It looks good on it's almost NTSC full screen TV resolution.
Oh, yeah, I don't think
that
And
it plays on an iPod.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to get a number of people.
Well, no, this one
won't
play on an iPod. Oh, not really? The H.264.
Yeah, the H.264 won't. But the MPEG, if you MPEG go MPEG 4,
will.
Then yeah.
You can go up to 2,000 kilobit stream.
Oh, yeah.
On an MPEG 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun stuff.
Very fun stuff.
It is. If you're, you know, there's you know what's interesting is there's people that always complain that we talk about too much video and photo on Inside Mac. But if you look at livepage.apple.com, you know, their start page.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the hot news, what does Apple always talk about? What's Apple's thing these days? What are they really into? Video and photo, brother. That's the focus of Apple Computer right now. Some people beg to differ. Some people are like, they like talk about shareware. Hey, whatever. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by our media sponsor, American Photo Magazine, the coolest place for digital photography. You can check them out at AmericanPhoto.com and also their podcast with the talented Jay DeFore, produced by Inside Media Networks at AmericanPhoto.com, or just go to iTunes and type in American Photo and check those guys out. We've got some cool interviews up there. One guy live from Iraq. Calling on a sat phone.
Oh, wow.
Talking about shooting pictures of, you know, all kinds of fun stuff over there. So, you know, very cool magazine. Definitely high-end for the more avant-garde professional photographer, AmericanPhoto.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin in studio, the first time in years.
Well, it's
back
not been
from
years.
Somewhere. And,
it seems like years.
No, from the pod bunker.
I think he's back over there from Pod Show. He's been hanging out with Curry and those guys.
Come on, guys.
Cigars.
Come on.
I don't think they smoke cigars.
Actually, they do like cigars.
Oh, they do like cigars.
And I like cigars, too.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, there's a lot of really cool stuff coming out in the market. But I wanted to talk about a backpack. It's a company that's been making bags for a while now. And I know we all know bags, and we're all bag-carrying people here. I'm a huge bag lover, but the company's called Mobile Edge, and they're a little different in the way they build bags because some of their stuff is specifically tailored for women and women that are carrying their laptops. Also, they pay close attention to the fight against breast cancer, and they give back to that with one of their bags. Now, we're going to get to that in a second. But Mobile Edge, they're based out of, I believe it's Southern California. It's mobileedge.com if you want to check it out. They've got a bag called the Paris backpack, and it's pretty cool. It's meant for women. It will hold up to a 13.2-inch laptop, so too bad for the MacBook people because it was made well before that last year.
I bet
you
a MacBook will fit into it, you think?
It might.
I bet you a 14-inch, a 14-inch...
iBook.
iBook, yeah. MacBook, yeah.
It might, and we have it here, and the guys are very cool. It comes with a cosmetic case inside, so women can put all their stuff in there, and a special padding for the laptop. They did a nice job. It's padded on the shoulder straps. Let's see. There's a number of different things. It's got a little holder on it for the iPod as well, or whatever.
MP3 I think it's player. Pretty stylish bag.
Well, I think it's cool.
It's stylish. It's $99 bucks.
It's got a little leather flap. It's canvas on the back.
You know, and it's really. And it's, I don't think it's so much.
Cool. It's a white beige with a little black.
I really think look. You know that could be used for. That's a unisex type bag.
You absolutely a guy can use it, especially Scott, because he can get away with that. Anyway, yeah. It's stylish. It's $99 bucks. They also make a bag that supports the Komen Foundation. It's a pink bag for women.
Really?
And 10% of the bag's price, it's $129 bucks, goes to Breast Cancer Foundation. Guys, that's very, very important because of how many women get breast cancer in the United States. It's 1 in 9. It's unbelievable how high it is.
California has
the highest in the country, and in Northern California, it's the highest, and they still don't understand, and that's why this whole breast cancer thing is important as far as the fight against it. So they're supporting that, and I think it's great. MobileEdge.com. Also, let's see, next, new stuff from all of the iPod companies or vendors, including Griffin, Extreme Mac, DLO. Griffin's come out with a bunch of silly skins for the iPod video. We have it right here. Brad, you can have one. There's three packs. There are three pack of silly skins. They make them now for every iPod from the 20 all the way up to the 30 gig video, the 60 gig. They come in green, orange, and black. They're in a three pack, and they're called silly skins. I think they're pretty cool if you're into... gloves.
Yeah, you almost anything that's as nice as an iPod, you do want to put some kind of a case on it all the time.
Right. So that's from
Griffin.
I'm
still using my Noreve one from Saint-Tropez.
Noreve makes really high quality leather, and they're coming out with new stuff as well. I haven't seen it. Yeah, it's open face, so you can use the iPod in the case. Also, DLO has shipped their Home Dock Deluxe. It's a very cool dock for all of the new iPods. Really, it works best, in my opinion, for video iPods. Hey, guys, I've been using it. I don't have a DVD player in my room, so I plug the Home Dock into the TV, and now I watch all of my stuff, my episodes. Fox now airs 24. I tape it with iTunes. Home Dock Deluxe has a multifunction remote. It's black. It's really nice looking now.
Now, Extreme Mac has a new one too, huh? They got a new dock too. With
get to that in a second. So, Home Dock Deluxe is from DLO. I think of all the docks that I've used so far, it's the most functional. Of course, it does on-screen, so you can see the on-screen. If you're using music, it'll show up the on-screen name of the song and title, things like that. It controls the playlist. It controls the volume. They've done a very nice job. It's like black, lacquered on the front. My only gripe, and this goes to Andrew, he knows, he's the VP there, is that the on button, you know, when it's turned on, is really, really bright. So if it's dark and it's at night, your eye goes directly to the brightest light. That's just natural. So, Andrew, Can you put some black tape over it?
Electrical tape.
But it's from DLO. DLO has made a number of cool new products for the iPod. Check it out at DLO. That's digitallifestyleoutfitters.com. And speaking of Extreme, Extreme is coming out with a dock as well. It's not out yet. But actually, what I'm more excited about is their Micro Memo. It's the first one. I think it's going to be the first one on the block that is supports full-on 44 kilohertz recording for video iPods, only video iPods.
Oh, really?
So it plugs in the bottom. It's got a removable mic. Scott will love this. You'll love this, too, since you're an audio junkie, video as well. He's just a junkie. And it's really, really neat. Well, I played with it in Boston 2 weeks ago. You can plug in any other external mic. So you have to, it's a mini.
It's a mini jack?
It's a mini.
So you need a mini to XLR.
Mini to XLR. Mm-hmm. Well, but you can use a beautiful Sony condenser mic that will plug right into that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Tell me about the Marware. It's got a new dock, too.
Marware came out with a dock. I have not seen the dock yet. It's, I believe it's black, and it supports the video and nano.
But does it have all the cool on-screen stuff, like, you know, because Griffin's got one coming, supposedly someday in the future.
No, Griffin's got one. We're going to get into that later. I'm not sure.
We need to have a dock shootout.
I'm not sure. We're waiting to get Marware stuff. Griffin's coming out with one called Tune Center, and what's unique about Griffin is it's Ethernet and Wi-Fi. There's two models, one with everything and one with just Ethernet. That looks pretty sweet. I'm not sure what it's going to look like yet. I saw some previews at Macworld Expo. They're coming out with that. I think it's going to be a dock shootout. And, of course, our friends at Keyspan, they make a very nice dock called the AV Dock. It's very simple. It's RF, 9-button remote. And they're shipping a new black version. They have an all-white, and they have an all-black.
See, the keyest thing is that I like the remote option because that little Apple remote doesn't drive the iPod well enough.
Right,
I mean, yeah,
right.
I think that's
a lot
really
more
important.
To come next week. Just check out Inside Mac Radio or CoolMacPicks.com. Either way, you'll get to me.
Lovely. Thank you, Sammy.
You
there
got
you go.
It.
Sam Levin, Cool Mac Picks. Next up here, we're going to have Bob Dr. Mac Levitis.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show brought to you by Creative Pro. If you want the place to get all the coolest creative tips, check them out at creativepro.com. And the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. You can send these guys any file, doesn't matter what you hacked it out of. They'll fix it, make it right, and print it. And this is true ink on paper offset printers. Right now, we're joined by the legendary, the one, the only, Bob Dr. Mac Levitis. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
Good. Now, we wanted to have you come on today. You got a brand new MacBook Pro 17-inch, nice and shiny, fully stuffed to the gunnels, brand new laptop.
Yes, sir.
And we want to talk about it because, you know, a lot of people like to know what's up, and then maybe we want to get your thoughts, too, on this whole MacBook thing besides the MacBook Pro.
Well, I was briefed yesterday by the product manager, so I know a little, but I haven't seen one yet.
Good
but
one.
The 17-inch is on my desk and, in fact, running both Mac OS X and Windows XP.
Oh, so you basically are trying out that new boot camp feature.
You betcha.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Have you had any problems with switching back and forth, or is that just
no? Not only have I not had any problems, it only takes maybe 45 seconds or a minute, so it's fairly convenient to switch back and forth.
So for like people that are still stuck to legacy applications at their company, they are no longer locked by walking with a Macintosh.
You know, there's only one company that can sell you a personal computer that can run Windows, Mac OS, and Unix, and that's Apple.
That's pretty amazing.
Absolutely correct. People who have legacy apps, People who didn't want to make the switch to the Mac because of games for the Windows side, all of a sudden all that stuff goes right out the window. Because if you play a game on Windows, it's real Windows running on a real Intel processor.
Plus, I hear that
speed ahead.
I hear because the Apple hardware is so good, it's actually faster than like running on a Dell that's in your backyard.
Well, I haven't tested that, but I have read other people say that it's at least as fast on the Apple hardware as it is on the equivalent other PC maker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to single out Dell. I live in Austin, you know.
Oh, they'll come and get you.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
My tires will get flattened.
That's right.
So, yeah, I have to say the 17-inch is really, if you don't mind carrying such a large laptop, it's really not very heavy, 6.8 pounds.
Now, I heard, I've been reading that the graphics card is actually faster on the 17-inch than it is on the 15-inch.
It is. And
really?
Did you read, you know, I found something out yesterday that was kind of cool. The new MacBooks come with this new kind of glossy display. And as of yesterday or the day before, you can order that as a build-to-order option on either of the MacBook Pros.
Right, because we were talking about that a little bit earlier in the show, and we were kind of unsure about the, you know, are you being forced into something that you don't want? But I think it is. That's fantastic. So you don't have to have it if you don't want
it. Okay, Bobby, you had a briefing from the product manager. You had your executive briefing with Apple. Now, what's the whole thought behind this glossy screen deal and not the matte one?
Let me quote this. Glossy display. It's 79% brighter than the former iBook, and it's a widescreen format rather than square-ish.
Right.
And the big selling point apparently is that the glossy display gives you blacker blacks and more vivid colors.
Now, what about, you know, working in a normal environment where you have maybe lights around? I mean, are you going to see yourself in the screen as being like a mirror? Or you just tilt the screen the right way and it's a built-in mirror, too, so you can comb your hair?
Yeah. That remains to be seen. I think I'm gonna run over to the Apple store later and take a look, because I can't stand it. The suspense is killing me.
I know. Hey, Bobby, hold on. We're coming up to a break. You're here with Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and we're talking about the new MacBooks. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some more stuff. Bobby's been doing some more testing and playing around with it. And also, we're going to see what Bob's up to. I know he's got some new books coming and all kinds of great stuff. So you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright, and we're here with Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you want to get the coolest place to get software updates? Get in quick, get out, get all the stuff you need. Don't waste a bunch of time. I don't have to look at 35.6 million ads buried 16 pages deep. Well, go to Mac Update. We're here with Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and we've been talking about his adventures in MacBook and MacBook Pro land. Bobby, what else have you noticed about this this new MacBook Pro that's just really like, wow, have you noticed it a lot faster for the stuff you've been playing with?
Well, you know, for stuff like that's already universal, stuff that's already been recompiled to work natively on the Intel processor, it screams. I was running Logic Pro, which is, you know, a pretty demanding application, and even on a notebook, it flew. I could listen to, I don't know, I had one project had probably 30 tracks, lots of effects on them, and it wasn't even breathing hard.
Wow.
And I use these little things, menu meters, in my menu bar so I can see what percent of my processor is being utilized at any given second.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing is, even when I was playing these, you know, humongous songs, I still had 50% of both processors available. It was just amazing. And GarageBand, blinding. I mean, just brilliantly fast.
Yeah, I think that there's something, I mean, you know this because, you know, you are a guy that owns guitars. Well, there's something about just having a little laptop and being able to record straight into it, which is just beautiful. You know, you just don't have a lot of stuff in the way, and it's just kind of, you know, those things you can just plug in and go.
Well, I think this is the best it's ever been for Mac people to have a portable recording studio. You know, in the past, the PowerBook G4 really wasn't that good of a recording platform, whereas both of the Core Duos, man, and I bet even the MacBook, which has a Core Duo also, I bet even the inexpensive MacBook would be a good platform for mobile recording.
Oh, I think it would. I have one of the things that I didn't look at the MacBook, the new MacBooks, but one of the things I really like is getting to 7200 RPM on mobile drives, especially for recording, because, yep, you know, it's like you get more tracks. You know, I mean, you can't get more tracks if your disk is slow, and you'll get more tracks, and now you have all the CPU to take advantage of it.
And the 17-inch includes FireWire 800. So if you have a fast drive, the 17-inch, you don't have to buy a card bus card or whatever they're called, the card bus express.
Yeah.
So it's built right in.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, really nice. Really, really nice.
Wow.
The 17-inch really is a great platform for mobile recording, and I'm going to write a story for Electronic Musician saying just that. What a great, it's like, I have everything in the 17-inch PowerBook that Wally Heider had in his $4 million truck.
Yep.
Except maybe I don't have the Neumann microphones.
It,
but
it really is, you know, my experience is that it really feels like you're on a dual G5 when you're doing stuff on.
Even better, because I have a dual G5, and I was able to run Logic on the MacBook Pro and the dual G5, like, right in a row. And it is, I'm positive it's faster on the MacBook Pro.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes, sir. It is amazing. And, you know, for anybody that's thinking mobile recording, and, of course, all the other mobile movie making, iMovie is also blindingly fast. It's almost like some of the stuff happens so fast you wonder if it even happened. Like, all of a sudden, effects are done. And you never see the little rendering thermometer anymore. It's just pretty amazing stuff.
Hey, Bobby, how do people get more information on Bob Dr. Mac Levitis, your consulting gig, Dr. Mac Direct, the books, everything you're up to?
BobLevitis.com, BoBLevitus, BobLevitis.com.
Hey, Bobby, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us an insight here on the land of Intel.
Always a pleasure, Scotty.
There you go, buddy.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by our partner, digital production buzz, Philip Hodges. You can check his show out on Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we're joined by Peter Kern, our Mac music master, the man that knows all about music on the Mac. How are we doing, Peter?
Good. How's it going, Scott? Good to be back.
Good. Thank you so much. Now, tell me, you know, there's been a lot of changes here lately. We got MacBook Pros, and now we have a brand new MacBook. And what does all this Intel stuff mean to the music creator, the music person?
People that I think there's a real simple answer to that, which is that this is all about, for most of us, this is all about the ability to take what's in our studio and perform live with it, have the power of a desktop computer in a machine that's mobile that we can take with us and even play with on stage. And that's been something a lot of Mac users have been doing for a long time, but we're now able to do a whole lot more than we were. We're making a lot fewer sacrifices with the mobile computers, and that's why the Mac musicians are willing to go through the trouble and the expense of upgrading these machines, because it means a really significant performance dividend.
Yeah, I mean, now how does this work? I mean, you've been playing around with stuff, and you're really heavy into the whole music creation, and you guys are doing live performance and all kinds of stuff besides the teaching gig, but how does these new MacBook, let's talk about MacBook Pro right now. How does a new MacBook Pro compare to what you've used on the desktop before with the G5, with the dual processor G5?
Well, we actually ran it through some tests for Macworld Magazine, where we tested Logic from Apple on the MacBook Pro. We tested the Mac Mini, even, and we tested the PowerMac G5. And the PowerMac G5 is still the fastest Mac that you can buy.
Now, this was a dual processor or a quad?
Well, that's another story, but I'll get to that in a second. But, if you compare to even a dual G5, like I've got a dual 2.7 G5 here, that's definitely the fastest Mac that you can buy. But what surprised me, certainly, was that you can get performance that feels a lot like that desktop machine out of the laptop. It's not quite as fast, but it's fast enough that even when you're using plugins that use up a lot of the CPU, things like in Logic, there's a reverb plugin called Space Designer and a really crazy synthesizer called Sculpture. They're really processor intensive. They're the kind of thing that always bogged down my G4 PowerBooks. And you can run a ridiculous number of these plugins even on the MacBook Pro, and you get performance that's very similar to a desktop machine.
Now, let's talk about the quad.
Well, the quad in this particular test, and the test that I ran in Logic, did not really outperform the dual processor machine by what I could see. Now, I don't want to read too much into that, because that wasn't what I was setting out to test.
Right.
I wasn't looking for quad-core performance. I know that the quads are significantly faster running some applications. In fact, even one of Macworld's competitors, even PC Magazine, said that they felt the quads are really fast machines. It may have been the plugins that we're using. You know, one of the trends that we're seeing in music software is that most software had been really optimized to run on one processor at a time. There's a lot of work you have to do as a developer to get things to be truly multi-threaded so that those processes can take advantage of having multiple chips. So it's possible that by stacking lots of the same plugin, which was the way that I was testing these machines, that I wasn't taking full advantage of the quad chip. But for whatever reason, it didn't make that much of a difference. And honestly, I feel like the dual G5 is fast enough for music applications. I've never felt like I was pushing the envelope on my desktop machine, that it would be hard not to recommend one of these inexpensive refurb dual G5s is a really good bargain as a desktop computer.
Yeah, you were going to say something, Brad?
Oh, I just said one thing, is that I don't know if you did this or not, but one common thing to find out if your software is optimized, go bring up the activity monitor, click on CPU, and look at the amount of CPUs that are being utilized when you're testing it, because it'll show you if all four, a quad of all four CPUs are pegged. And a lot of cases, they're not. I mean, I know in things like, doing H.264 encoding and some of the other applications, they can peg the all CPUs. But in other applications, that's one good thing to find out if you're not going to need a quad G5 if you get by.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I was certainly intrigued by it. I don't have a quad here, and it wasn't what we set out to test, but it's certainly an interesting question. We really hadn't tested the G5 desktops running Logic. It's not something that we normally do. So it's an interesting question. But the one thing we can say without question is that these Intel Core processors, the Core Solo and the Core Duo, are really, really fast. And having tested cross-platform applications, G4 versus the Pentium M on the PC, which is really the Core's predecessor, we already saw that the Pentium M was faster than the G4. Now we have a new generation from Intel, and it's very fast. So we're really excited that this is showing up on the Mac, because this was really the thing that was holding back a lot of Windows musicians and making a lot of loyal Mac musicians unhappy, was that one gap, that we have the better operating system on the Mac, we have virtually all of the software, but the one gap was performance, and that's really been addressed.
Yeah, it's also kind of nice that with things like Boot Camp that we're talking, that some of those guys that are migrating over from the Windows box can now not have to migrate all at once, and so they can still run some of their old stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal, and even the ability to run Intel Linux is exciting for some, a very small but dedicated group of people.
Peter, what about this thought now with Boot Camp, and you can run XP or whatever they're going to call this new version of Windows on your Mac hardware, your Apple. Is this anything that's cool for the music guy? Is there any apps out there that you can't get on the Mac that you just got to have a PC for, or it doesn't really matter, no one cares?
There's some software. There's things like FL Studio, which is known more commonly as Fruity Loops. There's the software from Cakewalk. I mean, there's a lot of good software for Windows. Is it really worth booting into Windows and Boot Camp just to run that software? Probably not, because there's just so much most of the music software is cross-platform, and there's a lot of Mac-only software. So, I mean, I doubt it, because very few musicians are saying, boy, I wish I had another dozen applications to run. But for the people who are migrating, this is a huge deal, because there are a lot of Windows musicians who have been looking longingly at the Mac, and you don't want to have to buy upgrades to all of your software to run a Mac at once, so it's going to be a big deal for them, I think.
What else is happening in the land of music that that's cool on the Mac platform? I know you you teach there in New York, and you guys also do you do a bunch of live performance stuff. What's the happening gig on the Mac? And maybe another one question here: what have you heard about DigiDesign and Pro Tools 7 on Macintel?
That's coming. You know, I think they said some of the early versions were going to come in May. I haven't seen them yet, but there's still some of May left. One big obstacle to Mac Intel software was the iLock protection scheme wasn't yet running on Intel, and we actually broke the story on Sunday that compatibility was there. So a lot of the copy protected Mac software now, at least they don't have that to deal with, and I think we'll see a lot of software show up in the next month or two. Propellerhead's Reason just showed up a few minutes ago, actually. So Reason is going to run native on Intel Macs, which is big. The other stuff that we're looking at, there's a whole lot of stuff happening. Digital Performer, which is a longtime Mac favorite, just hit Digital Performer 5, and that's shipping now. It's got a whole bunch of new instruments and SoftSynths in it, which had been my big complaint about that program, was that it didn't come with stuff. Now it comes with lots of stuff, lots of synths out of the box. And there are also a lot of new products centered around making it easier to perform with computers so that you aren't always reaching for the mouse just to change a parameter on your synth, that you have a hardware knob that you can turn, you can hide your computer behind you as you play and just play on stage. I think that's a big trend. A product called Native Instruments Core, and another that does similar things in a different direction called the Remote SL series from Novation. So lots of those kind of products, and we're covering all that stuff on createdigitalmusic.com.
Yeah, tell us about that. We got about a minute and a half left. I want you to tell everybody about your book. It's out from Peach Pit Press, and also your website.
Well, createdigitalmusic.com is a site that I and some other people occasionally write for. On a daily basis, we talk about technologies that matter to people making music with computers. And this covers both kind of mainstream stuff, like Logic and GarageBand, but also what happens at the cutting edge, artists and people trying to think of new ways to create music and control music with game controllers and weird sensors and all of that kind of stuff, too. So both the sort of mainstream and cutting edge music creation. And the book is Real World Digital Audio, which you can get at peachpit.com or realworlddigitalaudio.com. And my goal with that was to try to take all of these different things you have to bring together to make music with computers and put them in one book. There's a lot of us might know, you might know a whole lot about recording and nothing about how to make sounds with software or any other combination. Wanted to have one reference guide that had everything in one place.
Cool stuff. Hey, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. Peter's going to be joining us here more frequently, talking about all the Mac updates, what's going on with, music creation and recording and cool stuff on your Mac. Peter, thank you so much today for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Have a good week.
There you go. The king of music on the Macintosh, Peter Kern. Like I said, you can check him out at createdigitalmusic.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad White. Haven't we had a cool show today?
Yeah. I mean, we really got into some really cool stuff about these new MacBook Pros. It just makes you really want to go out and get one right away. They are so awesome. I've got a 15-inch. The 17-inch even looks superior to the 15s now.
I think the 17 is really like a 15 Rev 2. It's like the second iteration, because the 15s were out sooner, so I'm sure they made some adjustments.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't you saying that we were hearing now that the graphics are faster on a 17?
Yeah, they are faster.
With the same specs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it's actually a different graphics card. It has a little faster interface. One of the things I've been reading about it is that it's a little bit faster internally as a graphics card, so it can move things around a little bit better. But but including FireWire 800 is a big thing.
I just want it for front row so I can watch my media.
Oh, yeah.
I can sit my laptop in the living room. I can plug in. I'm going to get a Geffen switcher.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be able to take my high-def plasma and plug it in the Geffen, and then the Geffen will go to the DVD player and everything that's HDMI.
Yeah.
But I'll be able to come right into my Mac and into the Geffen switcher.
Oh, yeah.
And then make a cool cable that goes DVI to HDMI. Plug it in the Geffen box and go switch, set my laptop down in the front row, and I can watch podcasts and cool stuff.
Yeah, and now the other thing you want to get, and this would be a really nice add-on option, is the digital audio output cable that takes it out from the Mac
and
puts it into your
Because that's what's interesting is your laptop has the optical audio, but it looks like a regular port, but buried at the bottom there's an actual infrared. You can't normally tell because you can't see it. It's not visible light.
Right.
No, but you can plug these cable in, I guess is what it's got, mechanical connectors, but the very end has an optical thing embedded in it.
Yeah, that's right. So the cable just goes extra deep into the laptop, and then it has the digital out that comes in and drops it.
Now, Apple has these cables too, or just Griffin has them?
I think just Griffin. I haven't found them any other place, although I kind of saw an adapter. So it might just be a case of getting a little adapter
and then the regular square, typical optical plastic plug deal works.
Yeah. See, then that would be an ideal solution, because then you're just, you just have adapters and you have less cables that way that you've got, that are custom. But I think more and more as you start realizing the functionality that's being brought into iTunes, being able to download shows. I mean, if you miss your favorite TV show, now you can pick it back up. I mean, I just picked up, a couple of copies of Scrubs because I just wanted to see the endings again or see the video again, and I didn't record it on my DVR or something. Just like that. I mean, it's just more and more. You just keep thinking about it. You go, gosh, it would be great just to have that device connected to my computer. Having the computer connected to my plasma display or LCD monitor full time, and that's it.
Right.
It just seems like it just more and more. That's just the logical way to go. It just gives you everything.
Right, because if you're using a high def television, you're talking 1080i.
Oh yeah. So, well, not only that, but even that, it's the LCDs and the plasmas are getting so good. Having a with an HDMI or a DVI connector in there, it's very seamless.
Plus, it's going to look, you're going to get the full user interface in the Mac. It's not going to look all hacked looking. It's going to be pretty good.
You get front row, which is brilliant. And, and you get your entire music collection. And so you're not dragging, you take your CDs and just throw them in a box and shove them somewhere in long-term storage, because you just never have to ever bring one out again. because you got it all.
Right. All right, and that's cool. So the Optimum Home setup
is really is.
Back in the back is a, well, you couldn't do that. You know, we're thinking if you can get dual link fiber to a Mac Mini, then you can run an Xserve RAID with like 6 terabytes. Soon, though, we could just do an Xserve RAID and come out of that with the right graphics card, HDMI or DVI right into the TV. So, you know, you don't need a Mini. You just need an Xserve RAID. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. I'd like to thank our guests today. We had Bob Dr. Mac Levitis, Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine, Peter Kern from Create Digital Music. We'd like to thank the sponsors of the show, Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, and our partners, Popular Photography and Imaging, American Photo, Creative Pro, Printing for Less, Mac Update, The Digital Production Buzz, and of course our correspondents, Philip Hodgetts, Andy Shallett, and Little Sammy Levin. You've been here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We'll be back next week with more great stuff for your Macintosh. For more information, you can go to www.insidemacradio.com.